4 years ago, what will you be doing in 2026? And I would have told you, we'll be traveling the U.S. In our camper as our retirement years, and just looking at the wonderful national parks and things that exist here in this country. But but God had other plans that we did not realize even 4 years ago. And it's amazing to me when I sit and think how we have transformed or the things that have transpired to bring us to where we are at today. And I'd like to thank the Atlanta Church for inviting us to come and be a part of your spring meeting. I've done one other meeting last year at the Grace Church in Thomaston, but I don't take these lightly. I mean, there's a lot of good preachers out there in our in the Primitive Baptist denomination, and I count it a privilege to have been invited, and I pray that you have been blessed. I do see a few faces this morning I don't think I've seen saw yesterday, and our theme this weekend has been grace. And yesterday we looked at grace, and we talked about grace as we can find it in God's providence, and then we looked at how we see grace so much in justification, and how that God not only pardons our sins, but he declares us to be righteous before him, and the grace that it takes to apply justification in our lives. And today we want to look at grace as we find it in sanctification, and I find that in some ways this is the most challenging aspect of it, because it really gets down to our life once we become believers, once we have been justified and we're cleansed of our sins, and we live the remaining part of our lives, whether we come to that knowledge at a young age or we come to it at an older age, the rest of the life that we have here on earth is a process of being sanctified, you know, day after day after day. And there's so much of in the New Testament that deals with, you know, the aspect of sanctification. And as we look at it today, pray for me. I have about three sermons that I'm going to try to squeeze into one. So I will try to get us out of here at a reasonable time. But please be in prayer, because there's so much here. And yet I think that when we think about grace, you know, we understand grace with our salvation, but the day in and day out aspect of it is what in essence really is where we live at, and the fact that we need grace each and every day. And as a minister, you realize that, you know, what you had yesterday is not going to help today. You need God's grace as you stand in the pulpit time after time. And you know, after I've talked with some of the other elders in our denomination, men who have preached for 40 and 50 and 60 years, and you hear them say, "I need your prayers today, just as I did when I was starting out." It makes one realize how dependent we are upon the grace of God. And so as we look at this today, again, please be in prayer for me. And again, we had just gotten over the coughs and everything in Jacksonville, and we hit Atlanta, and the pollen is just it's right at the peak, seems like, up here this weekend. So I don't normally sound quite this raspy. When we look at the aspect of sanctification, Burkhoff, in his systematic theology, defines sanctification as that gracious and continuous operation of the Holy Spirit by which he purifies the sinner from the pollution of sin, renews his whole nature in the image of God, and enables him to perform good works. And as we had our responsive reading, and we were there in Ephesians, and you know, we know verse 8 so well, that for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is gift of God. But then, you know, verse 10 says, we were created unto good works. And again, this the process of sanctification is to do all of these things. It is to purify us. It is to renew us in the image of God. And when we think about this, and we'll touch on it a little bit later, hopefully, that we have to go all the way back to Genesis 1. Because when we look in Genesis 1, what does God say? He says, let us make man in our image. And God is holy. And therefore, we were created to be holy. And then we know that in Adam all sinned and we became sinners. And then God, through His grace and mercy, works in us the ability, or not the ability within ourselves, but He recreates us. He regenerates us. He brings us back into communion with Him. And then we start this process of becoming holy. So when we think about sanctification, what we are doing is, and if you look up the definition of sanctification, especially if you look at it in Webster's 1828, it is the act of making holy. That is the definition of sanctification, is making one holy. And now we know that, you know, we cannot make ourselves holy. You know, it's not accomplished by what we do. But he goes on and he says, in a evangelical sense, the act of God's grace, by excuse me, by which the affections of men are purified, are alienated from sin and the world, and exalted to a supreme love to God. And as then he throws in, as Webster did back then, and God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Again, we were chosen in Christ. We were chosen to become holy. That was the purpose, was to make us holy so that we could be in the presence of the holy God. And another aspect of sanctification is the act of consecrating or of setting apart from a sacred purpose. You know, when we look at sanctification and we see so much of it in the New Testament, so much of the commands, especially by Paul, of putting off the old man and putting on the new man, but we have to go back to the Old Testament and we look and we see that Israel, when they came out of Egypt and God is giving Moses the commandments and the description and the how to build the tabernacle and make all of the things and the aspects of there, we see the setting aside. We see even as they come out of Egypt, the firstborns were set aside. And you know that we know that it was the firstborn of Egypt that all died in the night of the Passover. And we see how the Levites are set aside to a special purpose. And within the Levites, we had the sons of Aaron that were to be the priest. And we see that this is the concept of sanctification, where you're being set aside, you're being put apart to do a special function or to be used for a holy purpose. And as we looked at yesterday and we saw that justification declares that we're righteous. God in an act in His decree says, you are in Christ, you are justified, you are declared to be righteous. Sanctification, on the other hand, is the process by which we are actually made righteous. Justification says you are righteous. Sanctification says, I'm going to begin to mold you. I'm going to take that clay and I'm going to work in it. I'm going to work in your life and I'm going to change you and make you ultimately righteous. And we know that this is a gradual transformation of our character to reflect the holiness of God. You know, unlike justification, which is a time where God just declares us to be justified, excuse me. Sanctification is a lifelong process. It doesn't end until the end. You know, it ends in some aspects at death, but then it ultimately ends with the resurrection and the new body, and then we are united again. And then that is, in essence, the total sanctification, and in essence, the glorification of our bodies and our souls. And like I say, it begins at the moment of salvation and continues until we see Christ face to face. So sanctification is totally different from justification in the aspect that it is a process, where justification was an act that God did at one point. But just as justification is by grace through faith, sanctification is also by grace through faith. It's not something that we do, even though we have all the commands in the New Testament of putting off and putting on, and you know, mortifying these things and et cetera. And we will look at that a little more as well. But it is an aspect of grace by believing and trusting in God to perform these things in our lives. And it is not something that we accomplish by our own efforts, but something God works in us, as Paul wrote in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." You know, as He works in our lives, He begins to sanctify us, He begins to change the wants, you know, the things that we desire, the things that we want to accomplish. You know, we begin to realize that, you know, the things of this world are not as important as we used to think they were, and we start thinking about eternity and the things that will count in eternity. But it's important that we remember that the goal of sanctification, what is the goal of sanctification? As we consider the work of grace in our sanctification, it is important to keep in mind the ultimate goal. Sanctification is not the end in itself, but it is the means to an end. What is the first question in the catechism? What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That is the ultimate goal of sanctification, is to enjoy God and glorify Him, to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. That is the goal of which sanctification is all about, is to bring us to that point that in everything we do, we glorify Him and we enjoy Him forever. And as we know, it will not be complete until we are in eternity. Again, one of the verses that Brother Wade read this morning from Romans 8, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Again, we were predestinated to be conformed to the image of our elder brother, to our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the process of sanctification, is to conform us to His image. And again, we talked about briefly about how in the Old Testament people were set apart, they were set aside, and we talked about the Levites and Aaron. And the whole concept of this separation or sanctification that we find in the Old Testament, and it carries on over into the New Testament, is what God told us in Leviticus 11:45. "For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Again, the purpose of sanctification in our lives is to make us holy. Again, we have been justified, we have been declared to be holy, but sanctification is going to work in our lives that we begin to be holy. And then as Peter wrote in the New Testament, quoting again from Leviticus, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." There's a few things that we need to consider when we look at sanctification. First of all, God is the author. It's not man. Man does not go about sanctifying himself. And sanctification is not a legalistic aspect like we saw with justification. And it is a lengthy process, as we mentioned. And it is completed at death as far as the soul is concerned, and at the resurrection as far as the body is concerned. So the completion of it is, again, both at death and at the resurrection, depending upon the spirit. We're looking at the soul or the spirit, or we're looking at the body. And there's a couple of other things. The nature of sanctification, it is primarily, again, a supernatural work of God. It is God that worketh, Him that is changing us, not ourselves. It's not a matter of, New Year's resolutions and, well, I'm now going to be a better person. We strive to be a better person, but it's as we allow Christ, the Holy Spirit, to work in us. And it consists basically of two parts, putting off the old man and putting on of the new man. And it affects the whole man. It affects our mind. It affects our body. It affects our soul. You know, as you become in your life of progression and sanctification, you may have given up some of the habits of the world that would have ultimately destroyed your body through drugs or alcoholism or whatever it may be. And again, sanctification is different for each one of us. We all have a different past. We all have different things that we, you know, that little thing that you struggle with that someone else may not struggle with. You know, so sanctification is different for each and every one of us. And it is a work in which we as believers do have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own, but again, the Holy Spirit is not going to do all of it without us, resting and abiding and trusting in Him. There's a few things that we want to consider, and I'm going to go through these rather quickly. Again, when we think about sanctification, it brings us back again to our main subject of grace. And again, we define grace as the unmerited favor of God. And we had several different definitions, but granting salvation and forgiveness to believers and then continuing. And again, the grace is received by faith. It's not of works. We know that as we discussed from Ephesians chapter 2 even earlier. Sanctification is the process, again, of becoming holy, set apart for God's purpose. And it's an ongoing process, unlike justification. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, we have God in His, the Father in His aspect of calling His children, and then Christ coming and redeeming His children. And the primary work of the Holy Spirit is in sanctifying us as His children and preparing us to meet Him face to face. And one of the other things that we need to consider is the importance of community and, you know, the importance of gathering together. And, you know, fellowship with others is one of the means whereby which we are sanctified, as we meet together and we pray together and we minister to each other. That helps in our growth in sanctification. And there are obviously many scriptural foundations that we will possibly look at. And again, there is a moral responsibility. While grace is freely given, believers are called to pursue holiness and good works. And we've talked about that the final sanctification will come at death and the resurrection. And again, it's one of the, I think it's one of those complex things that we don't always able to grasp. Just as in salvation, grasping and trying to reconcile that we are predestinated before the foundation of the earth, and whosoever will may come. You know, those are sometimes hard to reconcile with our limited capacity as humans, and the balance of grace and effort in our sanctification, the balance of God working in us and our responsibility to obey Him, balancing that can be a challenge. But, you know, Paul told us in Thessalonians, the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." You know, this is God's will, but yet you are to abstain. You are to, you know, we have the many commands of putting off and putting on, as we have mentioned. And we need to make sure that our theology is correct, because there are many things out there in regards to sanctification that are not biblically sound. I'm going to briefly touch on a couple of these. You know, some will teach that it is totally works-based, and, you know, you have to do all of it. Well, you're responsible, but yet you're not going to be able to accomplish it in your own flesh. It can only be done through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. There's another aspect of instant sanctification, and there is an aspect of where, as with justification, you know, Paul writes and calls people to the Corinthians and others, you know, calls them saints, and you who are sanctified. So he presents it in a as though it is a done thing, but then he goes right ahead and tells them that it's not done. You know, in the mind of God, we are already sanctified, just as we are justified. And in essence, in God's mind, we're already glorified. You know, it tells us that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But in the experience of our lives, those are not accomplished facts. again, one of the aspects here, along with is the neglecting the role of the Holy Spirit. And there's another aspect of sanctification, a false concept, and that is of perfectionism. You know, you can ultimately reach that point in your lives. You know, it's been a philosophy that has lived down through the ages, all the way back to New Testament times of, you know, just, you know, I have arrived. But what did Paul say? He says, "Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, or not to have attained, or not have completed it. But this is the one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward in those things which are before." So Paul was very clear writing to the Philippians that, you know, you're not going to make it. You're not going to get there in this life. It's a process, and ultimately will be completed. And then again, one of the aspects of false aspects of sanctification was the aspect of, you know, where the those that just went up and, you know, they sit on the side of the mountain, or they go sit up on a tower and, you know, just sit here and meditate all the time. That's not what the Bible teaches. It teaches us that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We need the community. We need the brothers and sisters to assist us and to exhort us in sanctification. And we did mention that, you know, sanctification is a position, not just a process. As Paul wrote again to the Corinthians, and he says, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, you sanctified, you are justified." And to the Corinthians he writes, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints." So in some aspects it is a position. We are considered to be sanctified, but it is also a process. and it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Paul, writing to the Galatians, says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And to the Romans, he said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That's in chapter 8, and we know that in chapter 7, Paul was wrestling with, you know, the things I would do, I don't do, and the things that I don't do, I would do. You know, he's wrestling with that aspect of dealing with the fact that as we progress in our sanctification, that, you know, it is a struggle. You know, it's a struggle to put off anger and put off the things of the flesh. And it's a challenge to put on the new man and to love our enemies and to pray for those who despitefully use us. But Paul then sums it up that, you know, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not obey the things of the flesh. And again, we've mentioned already that sanctification is like salvation. It is by grace through faith. And in essence, we've mentioned already, but sanctification is grounded in the eternal holiness of God. Again, God is holy, and those that worship Him, those that can come into His presence, have to be holy as well. And again, we're thankful for the justification and the sanctification as is seen in His eyes, that He's declared us to be holy, but we still have to go through the process of being changed and being made holy in reality. Again, we mentioned that we cannot adequately understand sanctification in the New Testament without looking back to the Old Testament and seeing that, again, as God said, let us make man in our image and go forth. And we talked about yesterday about just in the aspect of grace, that grace is like the manna in the Old Testament. We have to go out every day. We have to go out and have grace in our lives. Yesterday's grace will not help today, and today's grace will not help tomorrow. And that is so true in our sanctification. You know, sometimes we feel like, you know, we take, you know, a step forward and two steps back. But again, each day is a new day. And I know that I sense this even more and more lately. It seems like that as I lay down at night and I realize, you know, there were some good things today. There were some things that I may not have done that I should have done, and I may have struggled, but there's a new day coming. There's another day coming tomorrow if the Lord tarries, and we can start afresh. His mercies are new every day. His faithfulness to us, His grace is new every day, and we can go and claim that. And again, sanctification is not trying to be holy. It's not trying harder. What did He tell us in John 15? "Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in Me." And even though we have all the commands to do the putting off and the putting on, it's only accomplished as we abide in Christ, as we share in the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And the other thing is, sanctification is not an option. What did Christ say in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5? "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Be ye perfect. Be ye holy. We know that Peter went on, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. You know, newborns are so beautiful, and you just want to, you know, hold them and cherish them and hang on to them. But, you know, if you had a newborn baby and 20 years later it still looked the same, that would not be a beautiful sight. We need to see the growth. We need to see the growth in our lives. We need to grow by. Again, we've mentioned that it will not be complete until we are in heaven, in that aspect. And like I say, I have so much more here. But again, let's just quickly look at a couple of the means and instruments of sanctification. The Word of God. You know, we know in John 17, it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." If we want to see the sanctification of God working in our lives, we've got to be in His Word. We've got to be studying. Again, we have to depend upon the work of the Holy Spirit. And prayer and fellowship, again, are aspects whereby we grow in our sanctification. And when we looked at it, some of the practical expressions of sanctification is sanctification is evident in the believer's daily choices. What did James tell us? He says, "Be you doers of the word and not hearers only." So we can see evidence in our lives of sanctification as we do the things that we have been commanded to do, that we see that. And then we, by the renewing of our mind, and in Romans 12, 2, do not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I was sharing with Brother Wade and Sister Angela that I ran across something the other day, and I really wanted to research it more, but they have recently discovered that there is a process whereby your mind can, the electrons and everything that goes in there, there is a way that you can actually renew your mind. And it's interesting that science is now once again catching up and beginning to grasp what God has always said, that, you know, He says is you can renew your mind. And we know that Paul there is talking about that, you know, you're going to quit concentrating, you're going to quit thinking on the things of the world and the things of God. But again, that process of renewing our minds from a spiritual aspect goes back to, again, reading and studying and grasping the truths of God's Word. And one other aspect of growing and seeing the evidence of sanctification in our lives is through the perseverance and through trials. And I believe it was even this morning we were talking about that, or maybe it was last night, that, you know, sometimes trials that come into our lives are not so much for us, but they're there to bless and minister to someone else. As they see you go through the trial and see how God is able to allow you to overcome and experience His grace through the loss of a child or the many other things that can encounter and come into your lives in the world that we live in. Again, you will possibly grow through that trial, but sometimes we never know how it might help someone else in their growth and in their transformation. Again, there's so much here in sanctification, and I feel that I've only begun to touch it. But again, our grace and our growth and sanctification in this life is one that is, we are totally dependent upon God, but yet we also can't just sit back and say, "I'm going to do nothing." We have to be in His Word, we have to be in prayer, and we have to trust in Him. I have asked Brother Walt to play a YouTube video. I'm aware that I believe you have sung this a few times here. In Christ Alone. And I invite you to look at if it works here, hopefully. Sing along if you like. But our grace that God so abundantly gives us, He gives it to us in His providence of protecting us. in his declaring us justified and in his process of sanctifying us. It's all because of Christ. In Christ alone, Brother Walt. No power of hell, no curse of man can pluck me from his hands. It's my prayer that that is true in your life today. If not, I ask you, go to the Lord. Seek him. Whether you need salvation or you just need to know that you are progressing in your walk of sanctification, it's all in Christ. In Christ alone we stand. Brother Wade.